Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
I'm Brandon.
And today we're talking about funny scenes, funny moments.
I feel like we should be talking about movies where people's voices change.
Yeah. Hello.
What does he sound like, guys?
And he sounded a little bit like Pacino for a second.
Don't let the thousand times he said the name judge your guess.
I don't know. What do I sound like?
Well, when that last hello, you sounded like Pacino at the end of Godfather 3.
Hello. Not my daughter. No, that sounds like...
That was Edward James Olmos.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
I'm going to start doing Edward James Olmos.
If Scarface was in Godfather 3.
Open your eyes. All right, today we're talking about funny moments. Sorry, my voice is a little gone. I was sick earlier. I feel like everyone's got it here. You were sick first, then we got it.
I think I was the first, Adam's, yeah.
Adam's Shh, don't even say it. Don't jinx me.
Look it.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Adam's got a big day coming up, so he cannot get sick.
You know what's so crazy? I was thinking about...
Ricardo just had his big day.
Oh.
You guys have already done a podcast since got then, my, though, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you guys did one...
Finally got my prostate
exam. We didn't
want
to do one without you, Brandon. Aww. You mean too much to us.
Oh, Jenny. She didn't look at me when she said that,
I did not. I couldn't make eye contact. It was too weird.
Yes.
What was the big day?
I got married.
Yay.
Thank you, guys.
The best part is how
Mr.
happy you are.
Mr. Michelle Coyle.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You know what's so funny is that I thought, so Adam's getting married in like a week.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, man, I'm going to see your mom there. That's the thing. And she listens to this podcast.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And she's listened to all the crap. All
oh,
the,
I'm so
the
excited.
Foul things have come out of my mouth.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
She listens to the podcast? And,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You must have said that and I just didn't pay attention.
I've said it several times.
Yeah.
I just blocked that out.
So I'm going to be like, the noises. But yeah, I'm excited. All right. So anything you guys have seen in theaters? Anything new? Anything you guys caught up on?
I haven't been to the theater in forever.
I haven't either.
I did finally watch How to Train Your Dragon 2. It's on Netflix.
Yay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really good. Super nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because I have a black cat. And so every time that Hiccup did anything that like even remotely put the dragon in danger, I was just filled with anxiety. Like, why are you doing that? Like, he was going off to... He's going off to meet this guy who's trying to, like, enslave and kill all of the dragons, like, using other dragons. And so he just goes straight there, riding his dragon. I'm like, what are you doing? His whole thing is killing dragons.
Yeah.
So every time the dragon was in danger, toothless, it was really hard.
Yeah, I get it.
I haven't seen one or two. I don't think
really?
I'm interested. I feel
it's
like,
so good.
Like, I got to a certain age and I'm like, just fuck animation. Like... Like, it was Set Miyazaki, wow. Like, I'm over it, you know? Like, I don't have time for, I need
Lego
live action.
Lego
movie.
Lego
movie was stop
animation.
Motion.
It's animation. Animation isn't a genre, it's a medium.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's just like, there's just certain things that don't get my attention.
Excuses.
I know.
Oh my God.
I haven't seen it.
You can't play that card because so much shit gets your attention.
I know, dude.
There's not enough stillness, I'm guessing, in How to Train Your Dragon. I haven't seen either of them either.
How many times have you seen Bloodsport 3?
Three? Never. I'm only a slave to the first one.
Really? And you've never seen any of the sequels?
I've tried to watch part two and then I realized Van Damme wasn't in it, so I'd stop watching it.
This might be like an FX2 situation where you see the sequel, you're like, oh man, that's a lot better than, it might be better than the first one.
So now that we're talking about sequels, this is a perfect time to bring up my friend Kim. She was a guest on the podcast a while ago. Well, I was hanging out with her and I was talking about Terminator. And she's like, I don't remember this in the movie at all. What are you talking about? She's only seen Terminator 2. And for some reason, she thought that was part one. She thought the movie was called Terminator 2.
Because it's called
Judgment Day. Yeah. So she just discovered that there's a new Terminator, and now she's excited. And she's actually...
Oh, that's because it's better.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. So I'm excited for her. So
I could understand that, though, because there's so many numbers in those stupid movies.
T2.
Because the T, well, it's the T800, the T1000, yeah, like the T13, like what?
Yeah.
In Rise of the Machines, is he still a T800 in Rise of the Machines? I guess any Schwarzenegger one is a T800. He's like a
888, I think.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious.
Ugh. God, that movie was shit.
But what it's cool is that she, like our other friend Jeff Green was talking about how, explained to her how like, when you go back and watch part one, you realize like that when she first sees Arnold and she's like, she's got that look of fear in her eyes. Like you realize because you've seen part one, he's like, and you're like, why did you think she was scared? You know? And he's like, oh, just, I don't know.
That's
like,
a big controversy, by the way.
What?
That walking into T2, the idea that was a surprise, that Schwarzenegger was actually the hero. Do you think people walked in, given the marketing of the movie, that they already knew that he was the hero?
I don't know. I don't remember. I was too young. I don't remember it. How did you see it, Jenny? Like you saw it past theatrical.
I don't remember. I mean, I think I always thought he was.
Wait, it wasn't marketed that he was the hero this time around?
That's a lot of people have talked about that. I don't remember any of the trailers totally giving it away.
I mean,
like you see enough of it.
I had a fanzine before the movie even came out, like all about it. So I knew he was a good guy. Like I saw all this behind the scenes stuff. I don't know what happened to that.
Which totally betrays those two moments in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the one moment in the hallway.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm excited for her. And so you saw Train Your Dragon. You saw Train Your Dragon.
I had Train Your Dragon too.
You, anything new that you discovered?
I have been watching a lot of Gilmore Girls.
Oh.
Still.
But I saw on Letterboxd, didn't you see The Apartment for the first time?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd seen Promises, actually, on stage in New York a few years ago. So I knew what it was going into it. But I loved it. It was great.
So good.
It's fantastic. The concept's hilarious. The only better thing with Promises is that it's a musical. I love musicals, but otherwise it's hilarious.
Yeah. You're going to go see Newsies, the musical?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be good.
Next week.
Yeah.
That's my big news. My big day.
That's your big day. You know, next Wednesday, my big day. And besides that, I haven't seen anything, I think.
I've been rewatching a lot of Star Trek since Leonard Nimoy left.
Interesting. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. All right. Adam, anything new that's in theaters or anything?
The last movie I saw in theaters was The Lazarus Effect.
How was that? I don't think you...
It was not good.
Not good. That's a shame. All right. We'll get right to it then. Funny scenes. Who wants to go first? This was a difficult topic.
This is a hard list.
I feel like there'll be a part two. Because I got it down to like 11, so...
I was just trying to think of things that if I just think of it, I laugh.
That's kind of, Well, that's what I was going to do at first, because that's actually how I figured out my number one was that was literally the first scene that came to mind. So I was like, I have to put that. And number two, my number five actually was kind of the same way. But, what I decided to do was actually pick, because there's so many, I actually decided to pick one from each decade.
Oh.
So I could narrow it down for myself because there were too many funny parts. So I did 70s to the 10s.
Ooh.
That's actually five. Can you believe that was five? I was like thinking I was going to have to start in the 50s for some reason.
I thought it was all going to be scenes from Superstar.
Yeah. This is my first scene and this is my second scene. That's interesting. All are from Superstar.
For your birthday, that's what we're going to do. We're going to run out of theater and just watch Superstar.
I say we all perform Superstar.
Live action?
Yeah. We do a recreation.
Musical?
Yeah.
That'd be even better.
Like you do when you're a kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
For your parents? Yeah. That was weird. Did you guys do that?
I never did.
Jenny, you did that.
I didn't.
My cousin and I performed Lion King and Aladdin for our parents.
Wow. We, one of my friend's birthday parties when we were growing up, she... got a bunch of, I don't know if you guys know what American Girl is, but it's a doll company and really expensive dolls. And she got a bunch of American Girl plays that were like popular plays like Cinderella and blah, blah, blah. And we all had to put it on and I got to play Cinderella. But I had to play Cinderella as the poor Cinderella. What? I didn't get to play the rich Cinderella.
Why is it an American Girl play?
I don't know. It was just, that was who it was. I guess because they go through and they tell you what to wear and they tell you all the parts and they tell you the sets and stuff.
Yeah, they. I remember they had scripts. I went to an arts camp and one day I had to direct an American Girl play.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing? Yeah. What is this?
That's so bizarre.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Does American Girl, so it's not just one girl.
Yeah.
American Girls.
It's all
they
girls.
They are girls who are American, and it's a
right.
series.
Oh, yeah. This, okay. The
they
dolls?
Have different names.
Yes.
I don't remember the name of the one Savannah wanted, but she never got, and that was how she discovered
I
that
feel
Santa
like
wasn't real.
We had this conversation at Michelle's bachelorette party, and we found out that Michelle actually really wanted Molly, but I got Molly, and Michelle got Kirsten. And I think Savannah wanted
Kirsten.
Samantha.
That's what I think, too.
I think she wanted Samantha.
Yeah.
But she had got... No, she didn't get one.
She didn't get one, and that's
yeah,
how
that's
she
how,
learned
yeah.
that Santa is not real.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
There you go.
I like that she discovered that Santa wasn't real and not that Santa was just a jerk.
Yeah. Michelle didn't get an American Girl doll until I got one, and I was still a child, and Michelle was a grown-up.
Well, I still have an American Girl doll.
Does she still have them?
Oh, yeah, I still have mine.
How many do you have?
I have one.
How expensive were they?
Like $80.
Jesus.
For a
Christ.
Doll.
So oh, you have yeah. a Molly.
I have a Molly and Michelle has Kirsten.
Is that...
But Michelle never
oh, God.
She was
and
an
of
adult
course it's Kirsten.
And so I mean she was an adult, but she was an adult pretty much.
Adult
and so
enough.
She didn't play with it because I mean you didn't play with but I was still growing up, so I took down Molly's hair and I took the braids out and I made her do math and I was her teacher and like I changed her clothes.
That does not
and
count as playing.
Yeah. She
making
had a backpack and yeah. Yeah, I did the math, really,
you were doing
but
it.
Molly did it. It was real fun. I loved math.
Oh, that's funny. Have you guys been watching Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
I've only seen the first episode.
Because there's a great Molly, the American Doll joke. That's amazing. Have you started watching it?
Yeah, we watched a couple episodes. I thought it was okay, but...
Do you want to do some Molly?
Oh my God, she's my favorite American Girl doll.
Oh, that was in the first episode.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I think yeah. I watched the whole season in a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
I
liked
loved
it?
I loved it. I
did
thought
too.
It was hilarious.
At the end, there's some sketchy episodes, but all in all, they were really fun.
I'll go back and rewatch them.
I had some really funny things to say, but I forgot. As a kid,
it was a bad time to do that.
Did you guys have a lot of toys growing up? I feel like I had some toys for like a couple 3 years, and then I got into movies, and it was like, I'm going to get a VCR for my birthday. And then it was just movies.
I had so many toys.
It
was ridiculous. Like none of like the big, like the big play sets or anything, but just like a lot of like just boxes of action figures.
Yeah.
I always wanted, like, the play sets, though. Like, I always wanted the Batcave, and I never had that.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't have any play, but I had a ton of Thundercats stuff. I think I had the Thundercats, like, play set, whatever they're, like, mountain, like, cavern. Yeah, well, not a mountain cavern, but, like, I don't remember what their base was.
Yeah, it was, like a cave or something.
Yeah.
It was, like, a cave shaped like a cat's head.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
I had that, and I had a bunch of Ghostbusters stuff. Like, a ton of Ghostbusters stuff.
Thundoria?
Oh, my gosh. I always wanted
Thundoria.
A proton pack.
Thundoria, I think it was called.
Is that what it was called?
Thundoria.
I did have a proton pack.
I never had a proton pack. Anytime I was at someone's house who had a proton pack, I was fucking playing with that proton pack.
And I had a trap. I had that rolling trap, which was actually...
I wanted it so bad.
As far as like replica things go, it looked great.
Yeah. No, I wanted all that stuff. I had like one... I think I had Venkman. That was the only Ghostbuster I ever... No, I had Egon. And it was the real Ghostbusters Egon, so it was like blonde Egon. And you get scared. You'd squeeze his arms, and his hair would pop up, and his eyes would pop out.
I had when I was like 12, 13, there was a fire in the house behind us, and it looked like our garage was gonna catch up on fire. And then I thought, like, I mean, even though our garage is not, it's kind of close to our house, but I thought our house is gonna go up in flames, you know. So we were sitting out there, like it was in the middle of the night, 2, 3 in the morning, and we ran out. And we're all sitting there, like, in our pajamas, like, looking at the firefighters, like, and then we're looking at our house, like, kind of, like, and we're in our backyard, and then my dad turns around, and I'm not there anymore. And he's like, where the hell did he go? So he runs back in the house, and I was unplugging my TV. I was saving my TV. It was a TV / VCR combo. And I just wanted to make sure, like, I had something to watch, you know, while we transitioned to our new home. But, yeah. All right. So should I start then?
Yeah,
I
go guess? For it.
Go for it.
At number five, I picked a scene in the movie. It's not particularly a narrative, but every time I think about it, it gets me a little sad because that person's not around. But okay,
I always laugh.
I always laugh. And I'm talking about 2002's Jackass movie. And it's Ryan Dunn when he puts the Hot Wheels car in his butt. And he goes to the doctor. And the funniest part is that, like, well, I know Spanish. So the doctor's like, because it's in Florida. The doctor's talking in Spanish on the phone and you see the translations, but I'm hearing it like firsthand. So like, I can't stop laughing because he's talking to Ryan Dunn and who's the next to him? Party Boy, I think, right?
Yeah, probably.
And he's like, what do I do, doc? He's like, first of all, he's like, you don't tell anybody. He's like, he's all this, your friend. He's one too many people already. And every time I think of that scene, like, I just like laugh. Like, that's like, first of all, like that's a lot to do for a funny bit, you know? Like, hey, someone has got to put this Hot Wheels up their
it's
butt.
It's the least of things they put up their butt for, yeah, a bit, well, though.
I guess so. But at the time, when that movie came out,
yeah,
it was like, you'd never seen anything like that. You're like, what the hell? Someone put up, and then they got an X-ray of it.
Yeah. God, I'm actually amazed I didn't put anything from the Jackass movies on my list, because I flat out, I've never laughed harder in a movie theater than watching the Jackass movies. Never.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, all the way, like, hurting. Like, my jaw is just in pain because you're smiling the whole time. And I don't know what it... Oh, they're so good.
Yeah. I was once, like early on, maybe, like, 2-3 years in, while dating Michelle, I was watching that on TV, you know? And Michelle's like, I don't find this funny at all. And I feel like if we weren't together, you'd be doing stupid things like this. I just laughed, and I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I feel, but like, I think it's reductive to say it's a bro thing, there's something about the camaraderie of it, like the friendship, like the busting balls, like literally and figuratively between all the guys, that like just is heartwarming.
Yeah.
Like it feels really good because you know all these guys are friends and close, but they're just fucking around with each other and doing dumb shit. Maybe going too far.
Yeah.
Steve-O usually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
God damn it. When Henry Rollins gives him the tattoo when they're four-wheeling. It's just for a thing that's in a movie for 2.5 minutes. Yeah. And he's got this thing permanently like scarred on his back.
We were during my wedding. Jenny's boyfriend, Rory, was standing, you know, I like at the wing, you know, because he was tired from dancing. So we're just standing there.
He's tired. Wink.
Winking. So I get close to him. And I'm not too close. I'm just close enough. And you know, he was really, like, really sweet the whole day. Like, he was, not that he's not, but he's really extra nice. And we had done the ceremony and everything. And I get closer because, like, the music's loud. And he automatically, like, covers his nipples and his crotch. like, he's like, this is his wedding day, but I said better protect myself because he's going to. And I'm like, why didn't you do that? He's like, because I just know you. And I'm like, that like, gets me. Like,
feels
that
good.
That was sweet. That felt good. Oh, like, God. I feel like me and him are closer now because of that.
To know that we're close enough that you think that I am close, that I feel close enough to you to just whap you on the dick real quick.
Or flick your nipple.
Or twist your nipple or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel we're that close. That's sweet. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's really cool. I'm like, but why did you do that? And he's like, I know you. So I picked Jackass. Yeah. Jenny, what do you remember five?
All right, so I'm starting newest and going oldest. So this is the tens. My number five is a scene from Bridesmaids from 2011. And this was actually the second scene that popped up in my head when you thought of this one. And it's the one. Okay, so the way I did it was I have a scene and I pretty much did all my favorite quotes from that scene for all of them. And some of them only have like two, but this one has like six because it's the scene in the plane when she's really fucked up. And she's back in coach and all of her friends are in first class. And one of my favorite parts is when she goes, this should be open. This is civil rights. It's the 90s. And when she's like, help me, I'm poor. And she's like sits down next to this really good looking Spanish guy and she goes, "Oh no, I'm not her. I'm Mrs. Iglesias." And then he's like, "You have 3 seconds to get back to your seat." And she goes, "I can't get anywhere in 3 seconds. You're setting me up for disaster."
Yeah, that is a really good scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the airplane scenes are great. The ones with Melissa McCarthy. God, when she gets her leg pretty
the
high.
The whole thing.
Well, that's the whole, that is everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone has a moment that's when it's, I can't remember anyone's name, but Wendy McClendon Covey and Ellie Kemper, like trying to get her out of her shell and getting
She's
the
like,
drinks for her.
You're a princess.
Are they going to do a sequel to the movie?
I don't know.
That'd be pretty good. That was a good movie. My favorite part is when and sadly, it's a poop scene. But
of course. That's what I thought Jenny was going to say.
That's what every guy thinks I'm going to say. Every boy, literally. Yeah. That's every boy's favorite scene.
I actually...
The
poop scene?
Yes, yeah. I think it is.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
No, my favorite is the when they're going back and forth with the speeches, her and Rose Byrne.
Oh, yeah, that's funny, too.
Yeah.
The plane scene is hilarious. But I assumed immediately that it was going to be the
poop
scene.
Yeah,
it is a really funny scene though.
Oh, well. I just cannot put that on there.
Just because Maya Rudolph is so good when they're actually leaving,
God,
and she just collapses in the stairs like, oh, like it's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening.
So this October, I traveled. It was Michelle and Michelle's parents. We all traveled to London, and they all three of them got because of the way we fly. They all got upgraded to first class. And, like, maybe there was a long flight. And, like, maybe, like, 5 hours in, I'm like, I need to talk to somebody, you know? Like, it's really cool. I got all the movies. I got 3 seats back here. It's okay. But I need to, like, make a joke about something. Like, I need to talk to somebody, you know, that I know. And I'm like, I know they're just past the little curtain. Like, what's keeping, you know? And it was like, no, I can't go.
It might as well be a steel vault.
I wanted to go. I know 3 people there. I understand if I only knew one, it's okay. I shouldn't go up there. But I know 3. They're all up there.
Yeah.
Who am I going to talk to back here?
Yeah, and the worst part, they can totally
come back
to you.
Yeah.
But you know what? They don't.
They won't.
Because it's better up there.
No, it's better. The air is better up there.
Yeah. They might miss a fresh cookie or another...
a towel. A warm towel.
Yeah, a warm towel before they dim the lights and everyone goes to sleep.
Shit, that reminds me of something recently that I did watch. I finally watched Life Itself. Did any of you watch that?
Oh, the Ebert thing?
Yeah.
No.
Well, in it, Siskel's wife tells a story of, like, apparently, like, just their acrimonious relationship. Mm-hmm. She tells a story about how... Siskel was annoyed with Ebert, and so he gave the stewardess a note to give to Ebert, and the note said it was from the pilots and they wanted to talk to him, and so he like and to come knock on the door.
Oh my God. Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did he do it?
He did. He went to do it, and like everybody lost their shit because he was trying to knock on the door to the cabin.
Oh, well, this would have had to been pre-9/11 anyway. It'd be better now.
Well, when did he? Was Siskel dead before 9/11?
I mean, he was dead. I don't feel like they would have been on a plane together doing something past 9/11.
Why?
Right. Well, because by then I think someone else had replaced.
Oh yeah,
Siskel
died.
Yeah, but I don't think he died before 2001. I think he died like 2004, maybe something like that.
It was sudden though, because he didn't tell anybody. Like he was still doing the show up until he died.
Oh. Well, anyway.
It's a really good doc. It's on Netflix.
If the story had ended with an air marshal taking down Roger Ebert, that would have been a better prank.
It did not. I think I don't. But
then
I don't
he was escorted off the plane. All right. Where are we at? So we had a bachelor. What is it?
Bridesmaids.
I was thinking of the other.
Sexist.
No, I was thinking of the
so
other,
sexist.
The other
Bachelorette.
Bachelorette. It's great. Actually, I like Bachelorette more than I like.
Which one's Bachelorette? Isn't
the one with Lizzie Kaplan and Kirsten Dunst and what's her name from
Lizzie Kaplan?
Pitch Perfect. I said that already.
Oh,
not Anna Kendrick. Oh no, the British girl.
Yeah,
Rebel Wilson.
She Australian? Yeah, Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson.
Yes, she is Australian. Well, British prisoner.
All right.
I don't know. Is anyone else? This is a bit of a tangent, but does anyone else know the history there?
No.
The history of Australia?
No, like the transition from Australia as a penal colony into like an actual country.
I think that's another podcast.
That's another podcast.
I think it's a whole podcast. different
podcast. I'm just saying they never taught us that in school. And I went to a pretty good school.
Yeah, but you don't live in Australia.
Yeah.
So or England. I learned plenty of stuff around the world.
All right. You're just sad that they didn't never got to that.
Yeah, I am sad about that.
All right. Go watch, you know, go watch The Promise. Adam, what do you got? What's your number five?
Okay. I don't know if I mentioned this once we started recording, but again, this is all from the hip, off the top of the head, because I forgot we were podcasting today. Because I'm on overtime coverage, which means I'm stuck at work all the time. So my number five is from See No Evil, Hear No Evil. When Richard Pryor is on the subway and his sister says something in reference to the fact that he's black. He's like, "You mean I'm not white? This means so many, I have to change so many things. I have to cancel the swim lessons." And I just think about that and I laugh all the time.
Oh, I love, yeah.
It's hilarious. Like that, there's so, that whole movie though, so yeah. Many hilarious moments. I mean, Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder doing blind and deaf jokes for an hour and a half. Can't really beat that.
They were a good team.
Yeah.
So good.
They were like, they needed to get together with Walter Matthau and
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon.
That
do
would
like
have been
a foursome
a
movie.
Crazy movie.
Like they're all neighbors. They're like two roommates and two roommates. And they're
the odd couple.
Yeah.
Like,
two a couple T-O-O. Grumpier.
Right.
Yeah, old men.
Like if they applied the Expendables ethos.
Yeah. With just like all
two comic actors.
Dude, they should do like an Expendables with just old comedians, you know? Get a.
Like, who we got? Who
Don
we got?
Rickles.
Who do we got now?
Don Rickles is like the leader, you know?
But like old comedians. So
Mel Brooks. Woody Allen.
Carl Reiner.
Does, I mean, he was a writer on the show. So does, what's his name? Who wrote all the plays?
Neil Simon.
Does he count?
Yeah.
Is probably. He still alive?
Isn't he?
He can be the writer. He can be in it. But
he was in that Mel Brooks doc.
Well, I guess I... Unless he died in the past year and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Laughables, it's called.
The Laughables.
It's like the Burt Reynolds movie where they're all gangsters, but they're old. What was it called?
The Crew?
Stand Up Guys?
The Crew.
Oh, Burt Reynolds, sorry.
Yeah.
There have been like seven of those movies, I think.
All right. What is your number five, Brent?
My number five is the Stonehenge scene in This Is Spinal Tap. So I try to put things on the list that I've seen like 1,000 times,
yeah.
But just thinking of them, I laugh every single time.
Yeah.
Just the scene, because it's the scene before when they're planning it and they're writing down the measurements for everything. And then when they're actually at the concert and it's got the song, it's like a minute and a half of the song where it's like, "Where demons dwell," and like all this dark stuff. And then like 3 foot tall Stonehenge descends down on the cables, and there's the three dwarves like dancing around it.
That's the whole movie.
And then their reaction afterwards. it's so good.
That movie, Billy Crystal in that movie gets me. He's one of the mimes.
Oh, remember? in the dinner party, like at the very beginning. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody in that movie is like amazing. Like, like Bruno, what's his name? Bruno
Kirby.
Kirby?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the limo driver? Oh, man, everyone in that movie. So every time I see them in other movies, it always reminds me of like Best in Show, Spinal Tap, and like those are probably my two favorite ones.
Yeah, it's just so good.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Freaking Spinal Tap.
And really good songs.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah.
No, like
the
like,
music is exceptional.
Genuinely,
yeah.
Like good music.
Yeah.
Like that's the crazy part. Even like for A Mighty Wind, like the music is great.
Yeah,
too.
Music in Mighty Wind is good. Yeah.
I wish they had done like the full play of they toured with the play for
Waiting for Guffman.
Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, God, that would have been amazing. It was a little too early. I bet if Waiting for Guffman had happened later, they would have done that.
You think so?
Well, like they toured, you know, Michael McKean, Shearer, and him did Spinal Tap and Mighty Wind stuff, but they would come out as character and do it. They did some, I think they did a tour where they didn't do it as character, but then they did a bunch where they did do it as character.
Yeah, yeah. And that was your number
five.
My number four is from 1994, and I picked Pulp Fiction. And I picked a moment that like always makes me laugh, and it's a really gruesome moment, and not... But it just gets me every time, like the reaction that I had was when they shoot accidentally shoot Marvin in the face. That always gets me. I don't know why. Like, cause I think it's that John Travolta's like stupid like reaction. He's like, oh man, I think I shot Marvin. They're covered in his like brains.
Man, you got to have an opinion.
And the funny thing is that because it comes out of nowhere, like it's just a scene out of nowhere that is like amazingly funny.
Yeah.
You have to have an opinion.
Man, you got to have an opinion.
And like Samuel Jackson's like sheer anger.
Yeah.
It's like,
especially like later when he's picking up shit in the car.
Yeah.
You should be back on brain duty, motherfucker.
Oh man, yeah. And like this list was hard because I kept like going back and seeing the clips that I would pick, right? So I'm like, I'm just gonna see this clip. And then I get stuck watching the movie. But yeah, that gets me each time.
And that's one of those things that I think I mentioned it before, but Pulp Fiction, we got a Chinese import at this Laserdisc rental store. Like while it was still in theaters. So like this store had for rent like bootleg imports. But they were bootleg like off of film. They looked great. And my dad was like, oh, I think I really like the dialogue, you know, so we'll put it in. I think I really enjoy the opening scene, but then we'll stop there. And he just let it play. But that scene is a perfect example of it's super violent, but that's not why it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, man. You have to have an opinion.
You have to have an opinion.
Jenny, what's your number four?
All right. So my number four is from the O's, and it's 2004's Anchorman, and I did the Afternoon Delight scene. Because that scene also has the I Love Lamp scene in it. So
which
it's
one?
Just the I Love Lamp.
Oh,
are you just saying things
yeah.
you love, Brick?
Brick, are you just looking
at the lamp? I love lamp.
Yeah. And the song, like, it accomplishes, it's funny, you know?
Oh, it's hilarious.
But then they do the whole song.
They do the whole song.
Yeah. It just, oh man, that is a great bit. That is a great bit.
It's so funny. And I love when they do it.
What do they do it after the fight or before the fight?
I can't remember.
It's before the
I was trying to remember. Fight. It's not after the because that might be my favorite scene. Is
the
just,
fight scene?
The not fight. The fight scene, but after the fight
after
scene.
He's
that escalated
man.
Quickly. Brick, where'd you get a trident?
Yeah.
Is that a grenade?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the song is pretty, it's pretty great.
The scene I'm pretty sure starts with, because they're all in his office and he just had sex with Veronica
Corningstone.
Corningstone for the first time. And now he's in love. And so, what's this? Paul Rudd. I can't remember his name now. Paul Rudd.
The character's name.
Brian Fantana.
Brian Fantana, yeah. He's like, I was in love once. I can't remember her name. He's like, that's not a good
start. Not a good start.
Not a good start.
Oh, man. That scene, that movie is one of those, I think we talked about it, where I saw it and I was like, yeah, it was okay. And then I saw it on DVD and then it was like, oh, yeah, it seems amazingly funny. Why didn't I like this? And then I think that's why part two didn't work is because, like, people discovered part one, kind of. It didn't do well in the box office, did it?
Anchorman?
Did it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Anchorman, oddly enough.
It made him.
Brandon's wife. And we both were like, eh, at the time.
We will have words when I get home.
We were both like, eh. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure she loves it now. Like, I love it. I love it. But at the time, we were, I don't know, we saw it at a shitty theater.
What was that? Yeah, I had the exact same feeling.
That's crazy. I loved it when I saw it. It made Will Ferrell's career.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It made kind of all their careers.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Rudd, yeah.
Paul Rudd, kind of, but I feel like he was pretty much breakout after the same with Steve Carell for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Carell. He was on The Daily Show at the time.
But this definitely
made
him.
Well, I mean, then Adam McKay, Judd Apatow.
Yeah,
like,
all of
them.
This was their big thing.
I have no, like, we saw this in theaters and we both were kind of meh about it. And then I remember watching Elf and being like, oh my God, this is hilarious. And then going back and rewatching Anchorman, like, yep, Nope.
Oh, that's funny. That Elf made you go back.
Yeah,
because Will Ferrell.
I
saw Elf on DVD, and like I didn't want to see it. I was like, I don't care about Elf. It's some silly kids movie with Will Ferrell, and I loved it. And that's now they're both my favorites. Tops, two of my favorite movies.
It's in the top three of the 2000s.
Oh yeah,
it's one of the best comedies of the past 30 years.
Six Panther.
Elf was just like a year or two later, too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're both tops of the 2000s for me.
Actually, I was listening to a podcast with Sean Favreau, and he was talking about how he was able to get Elf greenlit because of Anchorman.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Because it was successful. And I guess they didn't want Will Ferrell as the lead. And then after they saw it, they're like,
Elf did really
bad.
Who else
could play that part?
Yeah, yeah.
Elf did really bad in the test screenings, though, because they didn't give them the right audience.
Yeah.
They gave them, like, teenagers, and they didn't like it. It was like kids liked it and adults liked it,
but not like teenagers. It's really funny. But Anchorman, there's so many scenes in Anchorman that are just.
Yeah.
I actually had to stop watching it for a while because I was watching it too much.
Oh yeah,
and
no,
I thought it was. I was getting like I can't. Because
once
I'm
rediscovered my love for it, I watched it so
much all the time, every weekend. I think.
So, I believe it's called yogging.
Soft J.
And I mean, well, also, being from San Diego County, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The whale's vagina.
It's like just co-opted. Like everybody, like that's, it's like an inside. Everybody like winks. It's like, oh, hey, whale's vagina. We're off from whale's vagina. It's like our street cred. And they had like a big casting call for the second one in San Diego. And everybody I knew who still lived there went.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just remember watching the theater and it was, like, I remember being a teenager and seeing There's Something About Mary and, like, just losing it.
Yeah.
Like, seeing American Pie and just losing it in the theater. And I just, I feel like I don't have those experiences as much anymore.
No, it's, there hasn't been.
Like, you just get so tired from laughing so much.
Well, okay, I'll confess. That happened to me with, I know I'm going to get shit for it, but I saw it before the trailer, the first Hangover. I saw it before, like, any...
Oh, you wouldn't get shit for that. The first Hangover is amazing.
Yeah, and I remember, like being like, I never laughed this hard, like, sitting in the movie theater as much as
God,
I did.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I think the sequels is what kind of diminished the first one, probably. Yeah.
Comedy sequels barely ever work.
Yeah.
Like...
I don't know what you're talking about. Caddyshack 2 is amazing.
Statistically, you could say they never work.
Yeah.
Caddyshack 2. Ugh.
I was totally joking, everybody.
I know.
I don't.
But it
even
did make
remember.
Me think. I do love Dan Aykroyd in Caddyshack 2 for some reason.
I can't even like recall a scene from the movie.
Mrs. Esterhaus. I'll call you Mrs. Esterhaus.
But you're number four, Anchorman. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Poop.
Poop mouth.
Adam, what is your number three? What number four? Sorry, what's your number four?
My number four. What's something that makes me laugh all the time?
Just pull it. 3, 2, 1. Something popped in your head. I know something popped in your head.
I don't know which.
5.
This is terrible. 4. It's the worst thing. Okay. Blazing Saddles.
Okay.
After Black Bart has started, and he's walking down the street, and he says hello to the old lady, and she says, up yours, nigger. I can't help but laugh every time. There's something funny about seeing an old lady say that.
Yeah.
just so, like, earnestly. And he just takes it in stride. He's like, all right. And he just keeps going.
I love that movie.
And then the next scene is Gene Wilder consoling him.
Tell him about it, because he just walks out there just ready to take the town.
Yeah. Oh, that's one
hard
of those things.
It's hard to pick a scene from Blazing Saddles.
There's so many.
It was probably like number 6 is the, it then, I'm sorry, but it's the scene where he's talking in front of the town, and he pulls the gun on himself. He's like,
anybody moves, the nigger gets it.
Won't somebody help that poor man?
well, no, and my other, the second one after the old lady is when it's Lepetamine and Hedley Lamarr, and he's
Hedley
Lamarr and Bart, and he's like, "Come here," and he says, "Can't you see that that man's a nit?" Yeah. And then he's like, "Oh, sorry, wrong person." And he says the same. Yeah.
He goes back, puts his arm around. Any of the Mel Brooks scenes in Blazing Saddles is just furiously funny. Oh God, him as the mayor.
The very first, the opening scene of that Badges. Movie is even hilarious when they're like, they're working on the railroad and the, like, all the white guys come over and they ask them to sing a song, and they like sing like this like non-racist song completely, and they're like, "What is that?" It's so funny.
I get a kick out of you.
Yeah, that one. It's so funny.
Yeah. It's funny. So, I mean, Cleavon Little.
Yeah.
I love Cleavon Little in this movie, but part of me does wish I could see the version with Richard Pryor as Bart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because they were so good, him and Gene Wilder. But
yeah, they were awesome together.
Yeah, but Cleavon Little's so... I think Cleavon Little has what Richard Pryor wouldn't have. Like, Cleavon Little looks, like, cleaner in the sense of, like...
Innocent?
He looks more innocent. Yeah. And I think that helps, like, the character. Mm-hmm. Like, just his, like, kind of gosh shucks, you know, mm-hmm. approach to the sheriff thing.
Yeah, no, he was amazing. He is amazing. Like, it's not because I do not discredit his performance at all. It would just be awesome to have both versions.
I would just love to see a few of those scenes.
Yeah.
Like the introduction scene or something. I doubt anyone's ever, I know film was rolled, but who was it that was originally playing Wilder's role?
Gig Young.
Yeah, Gig Young, that's right. I would love to see the scenes of him drunk off his ass trying to do that introduction scene before he called Gene Wilder.
Yeah. Hi,
Are we black?
I was watching A Million Ways to Die in the West, and
I love how you prefaced the Hangover thing with, "Listen, I know I'm gonna get some shit for this." You just launched right in.
I haven't seen the movie, so I can't give him shit for it.
Yeah. It started, and I kept thinking like, "Oh man, I wish I was watching Blazing Saddles." Like, and I was thinking like, all I had to do is go and change it. Like, that's all. I gotta get up. But I'm like, I haven't seen this. I just finished this off. And there was some like good moments in it, but it was horrible all around. Neil Patrick Harris has like the best musical number about mustaches.
Whoa, stop the presses. The thing you liked in the movie was a musical number?
Yeah. It's shocking, but
I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great number four. What do you got for your number four?
My number four is kind of a cheat because it's a collection of things.
Uh-oh.
But it's from a movie that has so many things it's impossible to pick from. So I'm going to take one guy in it and say everything he does. That's Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. Every scene he's in, everything he says is gold.
It's like, "Hey, you could get a free bowl of soup with. Looks good on you, though."
By Alec, this, get a free bowl of soup, huh? Looks good on you, though.
I haven't seen it in such a long time. It's sitting there in my DVD.
He just walks in and destroys. Like, everything he touches just destroys.
Have you seen this, Jenny?
No, I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, this is the thing we talked about.
We keep saying we're supposed to have movie night. I think after the wedding season is over.
Yes, we will do this.
Yeah.
God, we just run into the restaurant. It just takes over. Well, somebody step on a duck. Well, okay, all right.
Well, that's why I picked moments too. I said scenes or moments because sometimes it's not even a scene. It's just like a look someone gives, like a simple line like that. Like, and just thinking about that little line will make keep you laughing. Like anything Rodney Dangerfield does.
Yeah, just that. "By I like this, you get a free bowl of soup." Just oh God, it will never get old. It will never get old. When he turns on when he has his golf bag, turns on "Any Way You Want It" by Journey, starts dancing.
I never saw part two at all. I never went.
Oh, it is.
You saw it, but have you?
I saw it a lot as a kid, but I don't remember it.
Like I know, I remember watching it.
Really?
As a kid, I saw it a ton of times.
Whatever you can get, whatever's at Caddyshack on it, you were going to watch.
Well, I mean, I liked Jackie Mason at the time. I was a weird kid. My dad and I went to New York for the first time. We saw his Broadway show.
Really?
Jackie Mason, yeah. At like 11. Like, I'm going to get some, you know, octogenarian's Jewish comedy. But my dad said I left.
All right. All right. So that is your number four.
Four.
Rodney Dangerfield, all his scenes.
Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, period. For my number three, I picked a scene from Sweet and Lowdown, the Woody Allen movie from 1999. And I don't know if you guys have seen it or recently, but there's a scene where he just slept with... well, there's two fun... The two of my favorite scenes are almost close together. There are scenes with Sean Penn and Samantha Morton. She plays Hattie. And the first one is where he tells her how he got her, you know, because Hattie turns out that she's like deaf and mute, and you know she reads lips. So he's talking to her, and he eventually has a good time because she's not talking, and she lets Emmett to do all the talking, who's played by Sean Penn, and at the end of the day he's we flipped the coin, he won. And I got you. and she's so happy to hear that. Like, she's like, oh, he's smiling. And like, that gets me. And also too, like after he sleeps with her, he's playing a song for her and she's getting dressed. And like the way he's trying to be really sweet to her, but not too sweet. And you're full, you know? I don't mean fat. I mean like, you just got some heft to you. He's like, it makes a man feel like he's been somewhere. And again, she has that look of like just being so happy to be with this dude, and he's playing guitar for her. But every scene with Emmett is funny. The fact that he's a pimp and he has business cards, there's a lot of funny scenes. So that is my number three.
Amazing soundtrack too.
Yeah, great soundtrack. Jenny, what do you have?
All right, my number three is from the '90s, and it's 1995's Tommy Boy, and it's the fat guy in the little coat.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Song. It's a really good movie.
Sometimes when Jenny leaves her coat, I like to do that.
It never gets old.
It never gets old, though. It never gets old. And it's still funny because I'm like really much, 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 much bigger than her. So the coat just looks... I'm afraid one day I'm going to go too far and then just going to rip in half. But until then, I'm going to keep doing it.
I mean, one would argue that might be even funnier.
Yeah, and then I have to go buy her coat.
Because then you're committing.
Yeah. That is quite... Well, it was hard. I'm glad you picked it because now I could scratch it off my list. But Tommy Boy has like every scene with him in it is just amazingly funny.
It's so funny. It was either this one or the scene in the car when they're like flipping through channels and they find the song and then they're like, "Wait, I can't even remember what the song is now."
He's
like,
"Oh God, how does the song go?" Don't ever want to tell me you love me, baby.
Yeah, that
the
one.
Yeah.
And they're both like crying and screaming.
Tell me you'll be coming back this way.
He's I'll just leave it here. He's like, fine with me. He's like, fine then, I'll leave it here. Yeah. Yeah, but the fat guy in the little coat.
Woody's demonstrating the brakes that they're selling on like the little like model cars he has on his desk.
No, Daddy, we're on fire. He's like, if you want me to take a crap in the box and mark a guarantee, I can do that for you.
I got the time.
And I like also a scene that is not with Chris Farley, but is really funny is when they're interviewing the bank security guards. They're talking about how he's like how was the burglar? What did he look like? He's like, he came out of the shadows with a hammer and he hit me repeatedly over the head. But yeah, the whole movie though, yeah, the you want men for pillow?
Housekeeping. I do that every time. If I go to get ice, I come back and knock on the door. I do that every single time.
I can't do it because my voice is gone. I can't do it. But yeah, you want men for a pillow?
You want me to jerk you off?
And when he comes back and he discovers what's his name? David Spade jerking off.
Oh yeah.
So, which one's your favorite, Little Rascal? Alabama or Spanky? Yeah, this whole movie. Like, we got to do like a Caddyshack Tommy Boy night because I think we'll have fun. Damn you, Jenny.
Oh shit.
Your turn again.
We could do another round of funny moments from Time Boy while you figure this one out.
I'm gonna go. All right, just easy. Three simple words. My Little Buttercup.
Oh yes.
I was trying to think
another movie I could take off.
I was trying to think of what to pick from this. Yeah.
That scene, the My Little Buttercup scene from Three Amigos. Is like, I can't even, like, it is hilarious. I was going to say it's what, like, just really kind of seals the deal for comedy. But no, before that, there's so many other, like, basically every scene in this movie is hilarious.
A smile, smile.
Smile, smile.
A smile. A smile.
But, like, when they're trying to break into, when they're getting fired.
Yeah.
With Phil Hartman and John Lovitz, when they're trying to break in after the fact. And like, up here.
Up here.
So
up here.
It's...
He's
all throughout.
He's all when you guys were doing those movies down south. Did you guys ever hear the word nada? And he's all, isn't it like chicken gravy?
Would you say I have a plethora
of gifts?
Do you have anything that's not Mexican food?
I was so pissed at your wedding. You had the video montage playing of like clips from movies,
Buttercup.
And Buttercup came up, but I wanted to hear it so bad.
Yeah.
So I don't like musicals, but that's a musical number, right? Like
it's a musical number, but they're not randomly, like, they're literally like, oh, hey, we're in the movie and we're going to play a song. Not just randomly
they're
singing.
They don't break into song like I guess they do break into song.
No, but they're entertainers and it's motivated.
It's vaudeville.
Yeah. They're not like just singing what they're thinking.
Yeah. it's about them like, hey, we'll do what we know.
They're going to put on a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jinx, not Robert Tush.
That whole movie, he's like, I think it's the mail plant.
Like, how do you know? Two little balls?
Two little balls. I forgot about that. I flew in a little Nettie goes to war.
You sons of motherless goats.
Yeah, that whole movie.
Godless sons of motherless goats.
Just everything like...
A guapo. Like,
he's infamous? Infamous.
It's more than famous.
I like Chevy Chase is so like, I think he like underplay everything and he's just so subtly funny in that movie. Like, I mean, that's his style of humor, but I just love him.
Lip balm?
Lip balm. Yeah. My favorite is when he's
chugging that water.
He's with that girl and he's do you wanna kiss me under the in the veranda? And he's in the mouth will work fine. Yeah. I need to get that.
God damn it, he was so good at shit like that.
There is
It's like I always repeat it and it's from another movie. I hope no one has on list, but in Fletch it's at like the country club and he goes to see that girl. And she's like, hold on a second, I'll change. No, you should stay the same wonderful person you are today.
Yeah.
Like, he just throws.
So
yeah. I'll have a steak sandwich and a steak sandwich, please.
So we're going to come back to Fletch later.
Okay.
There's another musical number in that movie also, though. Does that one bother you?
When the singing
in the desert?
Yeah. The singing sword? The singing bush.
No, not that one. Where they sing Blue Shadows?
Oh! Blue Shadows. But they're singing it.
Moon Shadows on the Trail.
He's like, how do you like your bat? Medium rare?
Good night, Ned.
Yeah.
I forgot about Moon Shadows.
Yeah.
That's better than Buttercup for me, actually.
Buttercup's
I love that part. Just because when Martin Short sings and it cuts to them and they're looking at each other like they're so proud of him.
I do love that moment, but the bartender singing...
A smile, a smile.
No. That's the random... Yeah. The bartender actually sings the end of the
song.
He's like,
my buttercup.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He sings the end. The end. He's
the back guy. Yeah. My buttercup.
Yeah. And also too, when they finally find out that El Guapo is real, you know,
and they all start crying.
He's all we're entertainers, you know. He's like, and they start. They're going to my little buttercup. They go into. Oh man, he's like,
it's really good.
He's all, this is real. I'm holding on to this. I'm going to report you. Yeah. So what is your number three, Brandon?
Mm. So here's an example of...
Are we at three or four?
Three. We're at three. Here's an example of a small moment. Couldn't be smaller, but I will never not laugh, and my friends and I always bring it up. It's Rodney Dangerfield again, but back to school. And it's when he's like gone to like start cheating on stuff. And so he's like hiring all these people like NASA engineers to work on his like astronomy homework or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it smash cuts to him in the room of people. And he's on the phone and he just screams, "And another thing, Vonnegut." It's my favorite.
Was
in a movie filled with moments that I was thinking like, oh, well, scenes, like there's the Sam Kinison scene.
Yeah.
Where he's the teacher. That's an amazing scene. The only other thing I can think of that's a throwaway is when, at the beginning of the movie, it's like him and his wife's like 10-year wedding anniversary, and he's talking to his driver, and he's like, "Geez, Lou, 10 years seems like yesterday. You know what a lousy day yesterday was."
I actually haven't seen any Dangerfield like stand-up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
all the things so good. I've seen Dangerfield are just.
It's
movie stuff.
It's one of the most puzzling things to me. Like, I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts, right?
Yeah.
Which is nothing but comedians talking about comedy, for the most part.
Yeah.
Talking about stand-up, people they enjoyed, especially like Maron's show.
Yeah.
No one talks about Rodney.
No.
Like, not ever. Like, on Norm's WTF, he talked about him a bit, because Norm knew him really well. But no one ever really talks about him, and he's
I feel one
of the best.
I've heard people talk about him.
But not as much as people talk about other people.
Jim Carrey talks a lot.
I'm talking about in a sea of people talking about everyone. He was...
Well, I do hear people talking about Brian Regan a lot more than him talking about Rodney
Dangerfield. Well, yeah. And it's just like he was at the top of the world for like a good 10, 15 years, you know? And no one ever really mentions him. And he was one of my favorites growing up. I mean, obviously by the list. But you should seek out his stand-up. It's amazing. He's super fast, jokey. It's so good.
I gotta check it out.
I feel like maybe it wasn't a podcast. I don't remember. I feel like I've heard Eddie Murphy talk about him somewhere.
Yeah, probably.
About how he told him he was too dirty, and then he ran into him later, and he's like, "Hey, what do I know?"
Well, yeah, also, there's so many stories about him because he's a notorious guy. Like, drank a ton, did a ton of drugs, you know, slept around a lot. Like, there's a lot of those stories, so I'm surprised people don't talk about him more.
Yeah. Surprised there hasn't been like a biopic.
Well, at least a good documentary. I don't know about a biopic. Who could really play Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one.
That would work. But they have to do a CGI Rodney Dangerfield. Nobody looks like Rodney Dangerfield. You would get
so shit on. It'd be like Chiklis doing Belushi, you know? Like he was ostracized for doing that for a while. It was based on that book that was really kind of one-sided. It was a TV movie, I think.
Okay, I don't even remember.
Yeah, his family hated that thing.
Chiklis played Curly in the Three Stooges movie, and he was good.
Really? Of that. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
That must have been a TV movie.
Wait, it was a TV movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because Will Sasso was Curly in the
Fairly Brothers. This is a TV movie. And it was like, he played it like tragic, like it was, you know, like he got hurt a lot.
That's not what you want, Three Stooges.
Yeah, but it was like the behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
That was kind of sad.
Wrong podcast to take it
down. But I definitely got to check out some of his stand-up because I haven't at all. My number, where are we, two? I picked, so my last two are both Chevy Chase movies. I had to. I'm glad you put Three Amigos or else it would have been three. But I picked, for my number two, I picked Vacation. And there's a lot of scenes that make me laugh a lot of scenes. But I really like when they're in the Western town and he keeps calling the bartender. He's like, "Hey, Fletcher, move those chicken wings, turkey."
No, he likes it. It's part of it. It's part of the act,
honey. And then he shoots him with a shotgun. It's just genius. And then he's like, "Ah, it was funny." He's like, right, Aubrey?" He's like, "What? What?" It just that gets me. Or when they first meet the Wyatt Earp and he's like, "Dad, that was a crummy Wyatt Earp. She's wearing Nikes." And he's like, they used to rust. but pretty much every scene, like Chevy Chase was so fast and like just that's why I don't know. Like I like my old Chevy Chase. I was never like he was great on Community and all, but like I don't know.
Chevy Chase in the 70s and 80s, and early 90s even.
Yeah.
He was.
What was the last? Probably Memoirs of an Invisible Man, right? That's the last.
Good one?
Good Chevy Chase thing. The thing you're like, oh yeah, Chevy Chase is really good.
Yeah.
And it's not comedy. Like, there's funny moments in it, but it.
He was just good. He was. Excuse me. He was really good. But another scene is with the Wonder Bread, when he's like dancing to Chrissy Brinkley, and he slaps himself in the face and the cheek, and then he opens a bread. It just gets me every time. But there's so many subtle things like that just make me laugh a lot.
Him and the cop, after he finds out he had tied the dog and forgot to take him off of the back door. The cop's relating to him. It's like, yeah, he was putting up a good fight there for a few miles, but then when you hit the highway.
It's so sad, but it's so funny still. Yeah. Or the rip tips set, the section when they go to the when they're in Chicago, and he's like, excuse me, hey bro, he's like, do you know how to get to the expressway? And he's like, yeah, he's like, you're gonna go down the street. You know, see inside says rip tips. He's like, fuck that, you don't need to know that. And every time somebody asks me for directions, still, I want to say that. I want to say. Go straight down the street. What you're going to see signs as rip tips.
What do they write on the side of his car when they go through the bad part of town?
I don't remember.
They spray paint on the side of his car. Shit, I can't remember.
I don't remember.
That's someone to remember.
But he's like, this is Mississippi. The old miss. The old man. but yeah, every Chevy Chase scene in Vacation. Jenny, what's your number two?
All right, going into the 80s, my number two is from 87. It's Princess Bride, and my favorite scene is the marriage is what brings us together today. True love. Do you have the wing?
Who is the actor?
Peter Cook. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, again, this movie has a lot of scenes that are so funny in this movie. You know, I didn't see this movie till like I was an adult, till like I started dating Michelle. I'd never seen it before.
Oh, I watched this movie all the time when I was a kid. One of my babysitters had it on VHS, and I didn't know what it was called for the longest time. I was like, they just knew, like, as soon as I showed up to put that movie on.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it was just always on.
You're like, this kid will shut up.
As long as yeah. I will just sit there. All you need to do is put on Princess Bride, and when that's over, let me go play Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego on the Mac. Good to go. Easiest babysitting job in the world.
Throw me some Honey Grahams.
Oh, no, Teddy Grahams.
Teddy Grahams. That's what it was. Honey Grahams were probably the cheap knockoffs.
Probably.
But yeah, I didn't see this until I was an adult, but it's still really, really funny and a lot of great scenes.
Yeah.
You want some peanuts? you were watching this since you were a kid, Jenny?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. With like Michelle and your sister.
Yes.
Probably all the time. Yeah. And what's the name of the actor that he does a voice of in Toy Story? Inconceivable. What's that guy's name?
Wallace Shawn.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those actors where I always
He's a playwright and an actor.
That's right.
Also, he comes from like old money. Like, he's super rich.
Really?
And always has
him.
Been.
Good yeah. for him.
He's a really interesting guy. Yeah, but then just goes and when does.
He's an actor, he's a playwright, and he plays himself in My Dinner with Andre.
Yeah, My Dinner with Andre.
Yeah, he's great.
Which is actually really good.
I don't think anyone will. I don't know who else has seen it, but I don't think anybody questions that. Who doesn't like My Dinner with Andre?
I don't know. I feel like it's a kind of a joke movie, though.
I mean, it's a joke movie and Waiting for Guffman.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's just what I'm thinking of. My Dinner with Andre playset. The action figures.
Yes.
Oh, what do you
think? I really was trying to find my favorite scene from a Christopher Guest movie, and it was too hard. But the problem that I kept finding was that it really was the whole movie that was funny.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find certain scenes that stand alone.
Yeah.
I mean, Stonehenge, yeah. But there's still some that it's hard to find. I feel like Spinal Tap is the best
with moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to do like Best in Show, and I looked at Mighty Wind, but Show, it's just like, it's hard to find scenes that stand alone.
A lot of the Parker Posey scenes are pretty, yeah, are pretty good.
Well, like when they met at there, we met at Starbucks. But different, Starbucks
across the street from each other.
When she's frantically trying to buy like the bumblebee,
yeah,
like
thing, yeah,
at the pet store, and he's like, that doesn't even look like a bee.
It's a bear in a bee costume.
And she brings it back. He's like, what the fuck is this? Yeah.
I love the moment where it's Christopher Guest just doing the talking about the different nuts.
Oh yeah!
Yeah!
Pistachio nuts. That's the one that always got my mom.
That
quit
movie,
naming nuts.
Everything that comes out of Fred Willard's mouth in that movie as the commentator is amazing.
Yeah.
He's a if these dogs are football players, who would be your running back?
It's like, yeah, I don't know. You're the dog guy. I'm just asking.
Shit, what's his name? The dude, he plays Catherine O'Hara's former boyfriend, and they go to visit him.
Oh, it's Larry Miller.
Larry Miller.
Yeah.
He's got one of my favorite lines in Waiting for Guffman when he's talking about placing snipers.
I want a sniper here, and here. Yeah, and he's like, and people are like, what the
actually hell? He's got one of my favorite lines in Best in Show where he's talking about putting his son's eye out with his thumb.
Oh yeah. He's like, the trick is the old jump. he's and the guts, like if they were spring loaded, come flying out. yeah damn it, Larry Miller's a genius. All right, so we got Princess Bride, the marriage scene.
Mm-hmm.
Great scene. Adam, what do you got for your number two?
I'm gonna go with the can scene from The Jerk.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting that on your list.
Stay away from the cans. She's shooting at the cans.
He hates these cans.
He hates these cans.
Everything at the gas station. Finally, I've made it.
I've made it.
My name in print.
Things will start happening to me now.
Maven R. Johnson. Sounds like a typical loser.
And that's what's his name? Who you went and saw?
Jackie Mason.
Yeah. When he's taking him when to he's the back him. Room. He's like, oh, I can do a whole level effect where it feels like it's leading into the other room. I mean, couldn't afford this anyway.
Yeah, when it's the bathroom, he's like, oh, you're good. He brings it to the back and he's like, well, I thought, but this.
I don't have to do anything to this.
I don't have to do it.
When he discovers the music, when he can snap his fingers.
Grew up
a poor black child.
Another great musical scene is is him and Bernadette Peters.
That's not even. I mean, it's funny, but it's also just it's such a touching.
It's the sweetest.
It's
thing.
The sweetest scene in a movie.
And then she pulls out the trumpet.
Yeah.
Special purpose.
This is another movie.
This guy bought out the other pizza in a cup place. I think this one's a lot better.
Yeah, pretty much the whole beginning of the movie. It just
everything in that movie.
Yeah. Shithead.
Freaking Steve Martin. I'm glad we had him on twice. Buttercup in this one.
I mean, there's so many that I could go with in reference to Steve Martin just making me laugh uncontrollably.
Yeah. What do you have for your number two?
My number two? Brandon. Dickus. Dickus. From Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Did you
not know what I said?
No. You guys are big Monty Python guys, aren't you? Yes.
Wait, I mean, which guys?
Like you two.
I love Monty Python.
Yeah, I love Monty Python.
I like them, but they're not like my favorite like comedy thing to go. Python. My go-to comedy.
I did nothing but devour Monty Python.
Really?
Yeah, I've watched all the movies. I've watched every episode of the series.
I watched the whole series, yeah.
The Larch.
But the scene in Life of Brian when it's Michael Palin as the Roman Emperor talking. wait till Biggest Dickus hears it with the lisp. and the soldiers can't stop laughing. Is there something funny about my friend, a Biggest Dickus?
I love the
he has a wife, you know.
He gives... Cleese and Chapman, and Cleese gives him the Latin episode when he's writing the protests.
Yeah, he's doing the Latin graffiti
yeah,
on the
Latin
wall.
Yeah, graffiti on the wall.
Nope. Conjugate the verb.
See, this I've seen. There's some stuff of Monty Python's that I haven't seen yet.
Life of Brian?
I've seen Life of Brian.
Okay.
How many movies are there?
There's Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Life of Brian.
Yeah.
Meaning of Life.
And now for something completely different. It's really just the sketches, but they really they refilmed sketches from the show and released it as a movie.
And a lot of them are really good.
I've never seen any of the TV show stuff.
And Meaning of Life. I mean, a lot of the TV shows, it's like anything where there's stuff that's not good and there's stuff that's amazing, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Spanish Inquisition.
Also, every comedy you've liked.
Oh, yeah.
In your life has Monty Python to thank. They all liked Monty Python.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. But this, and then there's other Kids in Hall. I never got into.
What?
Yeah. Oh man, I just watched.
I've seen zero Kids in Hall.
I would watch.
Really?
Before going to school and when I got back from school, both times Kids in the Hall was on. Like that was how I sandwiched my day between Kids in the Hall.
You never even saw the movie Brain Candy?
No.
Oh, it's really good. In fact, I just watched. I was going to ask you about it. They did a limited series a few years ago. Death Comes to Town. Yeah,
I never finished it.
I never finished it either. Until literally this week. I found it on my computer. I was like, oh, I never finished that, and I went ahead and finished it, and it's really great.
Yeah,
yeah, they're all still amazing.
I haven't seen any other stuff.
I went and saw the live show twice, but I never finished Death Comes to Town. But I love Kids in the Hall. I can't believe you've never seen an episode of Kids in the Hall. That's crazy talk to me.
Yeah, never.
It's really good.
I don't know if it still is, but at one point it was all on Netflix.
Yeah, it might still be. I don't know. I haven't seen it come up, but if you did a search for it, maybe.
Maybe.
There's so much. It's hilarious. You got to watch Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Like maybe, I don't, because it was. It wasn't like before my time or after my time.
I want to say Kids in the Hall were like part of my gateway into Monty Python. Like, it's like backtracking.
Really?
Where it's like, oh, these are the like I like this artist, and this is the artist that this artist likes.
Yeah,
like Kids in the Hall was my gateway drug to Monty Python.
That's interesting. No, I know Kids in the Hall and limited my Monty Python.
And I think Life of Brian's my favorite.
I've seen that one. That's the one I've seen.
I think it's my... I mean, everyone loves Holy Grail, rightly so, because Holy Grail is amazing, one of the best things ever made, but I think I really like Life of Brian.
You know what? I grew up liking Holy Grail, but as I got older, I think Life of Brian's better.
Yeah. I love what they did with Life of Brian.
Yeah.
I can't detract from the fact that they pissed everybody off.
I actually feel like Holy Grail is... This is weird to say, but more childish humor and easier to get when you're younger, but... Life of Brian has more humor that you get when you're older. Oh my God, it's hilarious now because it's making fun of Jesus, and I didn't get that before.
Well, there's a depth. Like yeah, there's a depth to Life of Brian that doesn't necessarily exist in Holy Grail.
Yeah,
like, right from the
beginning, definitely.
When it's given the Sermon on the Mount, it's like, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." Would you shut up? Think big nose, right? I'm warning you.
I gotta get all the stuff, the Monty Python stuff. But I don't know. I've seen some of the Kids in the Hall stuff, and it was, I don't know.
I love all of the Kids in the Hall guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
I will watch stuff that they're in just because of Kids in the Hall. Like I will search stuff out that they've been in.
Yeah,
together
always
or
good.
Not.
Mickey Blue Eyes. Mickey Blue Eyes.
I did watch Mickey Blue Eyes.
Kevin MacDonald is always great.
And I love that anytime Kevin MacDonald or Dave Foley are in something, there's a 50-50 chance that one or the other will show up.
Yeah. Well, because they, like Monty Python, who like Chapman and Cleese and Terry Jones and Palin would usually be the ones writing together, like Foley and Kevin MacDonald worked together a lot.
Weren't they also, I feel like they both have similar both comedy groups have similar backstories where they were two competing groups that ended up combining into one.
Yes. Mm. And, like, Scott Thompson was the odd man out for a while.
Yeah.
But then, and he's my favorite probably. He's the best in Death Comes to Town for sure. Because he's still got 100% of everything he had.
I need to finish watching it.
So that is your number
two.
Dose. Life of Brian.
Biggeth Dicketh. He has the wife, you know.
So my recap, and we'll probably do a part two of this episode because too much
no
fun.
One wants to hear a part two of us just like rattling off lines from movies.
I don't think it'll be a part two. I think we just should be an ongoing segment. This and Netflix. We just talk about funny scenes.
Say a funny line. Yeah.
Number five was Jackass, the Hot Wheels scene. Number four was Pulp Fiction, the Marvin gets his brains blown out scene. Three was Sweet and Lowdown. Two, Vacation, and my number one, a movie that I like to watch all the time when I was a kid, and I still love watching it all the time, Fletch. I actually haven't gotten a Blu-ray, but that DVD is worn. And there's a lot of scenes, and I put one in the montage for the wedding thing. I put the doctor one.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rosen.
Rosen. and then another scene is when he puts on the fake teeth and he goes to see about the airplane.
Yeah.
And when he puts his arm on the engine and it's really hot. That gets to me. He's like, gets me each time. But every scene in Fletch is amazing. He's constantly like, I'm always amazed that I'm always discovering like moments when I'm watching. I'm like, oh my God, I never noticed that. That's so funny that he's doing this thing when he goes to hide and he hides in when they're doing the veterans thing. Mm-hmm. And he's he had syphilis, but you know, his face cleared up. And he's all, look at these cops. He's like, why don't we just get up and let's show them our love. Let's just hug one of these cops. but every scene in this movie is amazing. I can't.
I already said the olive steak sandwich and a steak sandwich, please.
Yeah. Put it under. Every time like someone is like, you go to a hotel or something, I always want to see the Underhills.
You have the Underhills?
You went on the Underhills, Bill? But yeah, every scene. Or I hate the Lakers, but every time I go see, like, every time I like, I'm child surfing and the Lakers are playing, all I can think of is Fletch.
The Lakers are tied to Fletch, right?
So I almost want to get a Lakers jersey just like the one Fletch is wearing, but I would never support a Lakers jersey. Refuse to do that.
Are they still planning on rebooting with Jason Sudeikis?
No, that was the last thing they talked about, right?
Yeah,
that was the most recent one. Like, I remember for a while it was going to be that Jason Lee.
Yeah, Jason Lee wouldn't work for me.
Well, but especially with Kevin Smith behind
him. Yeah.
Well, he just wrote it. He wasn't directing it.
Sudeikis might work for
but
me.
But Sudeikis...
I guess... They, I don't know. It's hard. That's a hard question to ask because I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
They did,
I don't know what tone
they
they're
did
going
remake
for.
Vacation. Not it, it's a sequel, and it's Ed
Helms as Rusty. Rusty.
Judd Apatow's wife. What's his name?
Leslie Mann.
She's Aubrey, and
Jason D'Angelo are in it also.
Really?
Yeah.
But like cameos, like briefly.
Yeah, probably in the
like
beginning
they go to
somehow.
Visit them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like he plays the cousin Eddie role,
and the Freaking Geeks kids directing it.
Yeah, Francis.
Because they're not getting Randy Quaid back.
Right. Yeah. Prince no. What if he did come and do a cameo?
Ooh, not now. Yeah. I don't want to go on a tangent, but did you guys see the thing they put out recently?
Yes, that was funny. That was comedy.
Funny.
In a horrible.
It was the most disturbing thing I've ever seen.
But just the fact that like.
Fine, we're talking about it. Him and Evie Quaid put out a sex tape. Out. Like, it's not leaked. It was like a guide to married sex. Like,
oh, no, I'm not talking about that.
I thought you were talking about the video with the mask.
The mask.
Oh, yeah. That's and you know at the end of the video where he goes to, like, bang her from behind?
Yeah.
Well, this video is them actually fucking.
Oh, no. I'm talking about just the funny video of her with the mask on.
By the way, hi, Mrs. Scott. No, this is, and it there's a dog barking like throughout the whole thing.
I don't need to see that.
It is, it will never leave my head.
The mask part is, you gotta admit, is really funny.
Oh, the mask is on the wall in this thing. The worst.
It makes a cameo.
The worst part. Yeah, the worst part is how the dog is like. They're on the bed, and the dog has his like front paws like on the bed, standing up, just like barking at them, like the whole time. God.
Like this is wrong. Like, this
So you've watched the entire thing.
I went. It's like half an hour, right? And I skipped through. I just for like about 30 seconds. I skipped through at different parts, and that was like. Seared into my brain.
Well, there you go, Ricardo. Now Brandon has something to be more embarrassed about when he meets my mom at my wedding.
Well, I'm not embarrassed.
You should be. Jenny, what did you recap in your number one?
All right. My number five was Bridesmaids, the airplane scene. Four was Anchorman, Afternoon Delight. Three was Tommy Boy, Fat Guy in a Little Coat. Two was Princess Bride, Marriage. I almost said Bwide. Marriage. And my number one is 1974, and this is actually the first scene that came to mind when you brought this up, and it's Young Frankenstein. It's pronounced Frankenstein. Is it pronounced Froderick? Why wouldn't it be Froderick Frankenstein? Okay, well, nice to meet you, Igor. Igor, it's Igor. Oh, I was told Igor. Well, I guess you heard it wrong.
Just looking at his face. Just looking at his face makes me laugh. What's his name?
Frankenstein.
Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman.
God, that scene gets me every single time.
And then it's also got Walk This Way.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great scene.
Put the candles back.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad that you have this.
Yeah.
Every part of this movie is hilarious. Oh, yeah.
Ovaltine.
Nothing. Yeah. Thank you.
Me and my boyfriend.
She's great.
Madeline Kahn. So many great. Madeline Kahn and Roland Z. Hay. And Terry Garr.
I got you a hamper for your poopy underwear.
Oh my God. This movie's so funny.
Oh.
She keeps telling him not to mess up her outfit and they shake elbows.
I like the Gene Hackman scene.
He's like, "Oh yeah."
What is he? You say he was gonna make it. I was gonna make espresso.
I was gonna make espresso. Oh, yeah. Oh man, yeah. There's so many great scenes. Is Gene Wilder still alive?
Yeah. Gene Wilder is still alive. He's just retired.
The last thing he did a series of movies, mystery movies. I think based on a book series for A&E.
Would you say Wilder or Hackman?
Wilder.
You said Wilder.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Hackman for some reason.
Oh, Wilder's retired pretty much too.
Hackman.
No, Wilder. Gene Wilder.
Wait, who are we talking about?
I was talking about Wilder.
Yeah, right. You said Gene Wilder.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. They're both retired. I need another beer, clearly.
Speaking of Wilder, I have to bring this up because you guys are saying it just like him in Romancing the Stone. He's like, "Muchachos, this is the author. I read you the books. Johnny Wilder." He's all Johnny Wilder. Sorry.
The A&E series, the detective series.
Yeah, well, he played like a Jewish theater director or something.
Sure. He talked about it in the book that I like a stranger.
Yeah, his biography is amazing.
Really good.
Yeah, especially if you can get it on an audiobook.
Yeah.
I said that weird. Especially if you can get it on
an audiobook. Nice. You went all Bobcat on it, dude.
Guys, you can get this audiobook. He tells the story really well, but it's really good.
Yeah, all of Young Frankenstein is amazing. Didn't we see this in the theater, Jenny? Or what did we see in the theater? Oh, Blazing Saddles.
I actually just saw Young Frankenstein last year in the theater.
Really?
With the Q&A with all of them afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Well, not Gene Wilder. He didn't show up.
Yeah, like I feel like he just doesn't do it because even...
the ladies were there.
In that Mel Brooks doc for American Masters, all the interviews were archive footage. It wasn't recent interviews. Like, he just doesn't do stuff now.
He's also just very old. I think he's like, no one
Cloris
wants
to... Leachman and Mel Brooks are hilarious together.
Really?
They're so funny together. Ugh. Still, like, just being themselves.
Michelle said that she encountered Cloris Leachman,
mm-hmm.
and that she was just funny. She was just like, she's like, just her dealing with her son was like the funniest thing.
She's amazing.
She wasn't even being trying to be funny. She's just herself.
She's amazing at everything. I love her in Beverly Hillbillies.
That's right. Yeah. That's good. Young Frankenstein. Damn you. That's a good one. Adam, what are you going to close with?
Okay. My recap. I had See No Evil, Hear No Evil, Blazing Saddles, Three Amigos, The Jerk. My number one, much to my fiance's chagrin,
Something British.
No. She also does not like that I like Jerry Lewis.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah. She finds Jerry Lewis annoying, but I think he's hilarious. And You're Never Too Young, there's a scene where he's...
It's a surprising number one.
I know. Yeah. Well, no, it's off the top of my head. Like, it's just a scene that I remember makes me laugh. The premise of the movie is Jerry Lewis is an adult pretending to be a 12-year-old boy hiding at an all-girls school. And... He hitches a ride back with Dean Martin back to this all-girls school. And Dean Martin is the music teacher, and he's conducting the choir. And Jerry Lewis is hiding from this criminal who's trying to hunt him down. And he runs onto the stage hiding, and he says he wants to conduct the choir. And it's hilarious watching Jerry Lewis conduct it. Like, just imagine Jerry Lewis's crazy manic energy conducting a choir. And in a weird way, and the way he makes them sing, like he's just him fucking with them. Like the way he plays around with the way that, like, I can't even describe it. I feel like we need to have a clip of the scene on the episode, because it's hilarious. The way his manic motions are basically affecting the way they're singing, and they're singing the way that he moves. It's hilarious.
I actually haven't seen this.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
My favorite.
I haven't seen a lot of Jerry Lewis stuff.
My favorite Jerry Lewis is the original Nutty Professor.
I love the only Jerry Lewis I've seen.
This is infinitesimally funny.
Really?
It's so much funny.
Because I love the Nutty Professor.
I like Jerry Lewis, but I feel like Martin and Lewis, they just did so much more together. Like, as a team, they were so good together.
Oh, I've seen some of the TV show.
The Colgate Comedy Hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. And like Sailor Beware, the one where the paratroopers, they were really funny together.
Yeah.
And like, it's not like what makes the scene so funny, it's not just, it's Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin's reactions. It's so good. It's so, like, I just.
All right, I gotta see it.
You gotta see it.
What is it called again?
You're Never Too Young.
You're too young. You're number one. I gotta see it. I really haven't seen them as a duo, actually. So the only Jerry Lewis I've seen is him, like, on his own. And he's amazingly funny. I really like him. I can't believe Santa doesn't like him.
What was it?
He could come into the 21st century a little bit, but that's fine. He's old.
I feel like she hadn't seen him, and then we were watching the episode of Mad About You where he guest stars, and he's like, Jerry Lewis turned up to 11.
Seems like a bad first impression of Jerry Lewis.
He's doing like the whole, like, the crazy... Hello, lady. Like the whole time, basically.
He's also 74 at that point.
Sure.
Yeah.
And You're Never Too Young was 1955.
Gotta check that out. Brandon, what's your recap? And you're number one.
My recap is Stonehenge from Spinal Tap. Rodney Dangerfield in the Pro Shop in Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Ronnie Dangerfield saying, and another thing, Vonnegut, in Back to School. Biggeth Ticketh. And this is probably my favorite comedy of all time.
Okay.
And it is The Producers.
Really?
And it's a tie.
The blanket scene?
Moments in the movie. No, it's not. The blanket scene is incredible. And it just makes me sad when I see, like, I saw it on Broadway, right? And... that came up, and I was like, I'm really nervous for this because you're just doing a bad impression. But then it actually became a thing on its own, and it was really good. But no, it's a tie between Springtime for Hitler, because it's still, no matter how many times I see it, it feels like it's hilarious. It still feels dangerous somehow. Like, it just the way, like...
The song, like, they're singing Springtime for Hitler.
Germany was having trouble, quite a sad story.
It's
so good. Just, and everyone in, like, the get-up, and, like, the girls with the pretzels, the pretzel bras. So it's a toss-up between the Springtime for Hitler performance and LSD's audition in the movie. Have you guys seen Springtime, or The Producers?
I saw it when I was young, and I don't remember it. God damn, I remember Spring Time Forever.
Yes.
Yeah, but
I've never seen the play. Well, no, I saw the movie version of the play, which is not as good as the original.
It is not good at all.
No, with Gene Wilder and Zero Mostel.
But Dick Shawn.
Oh, fuck, I forgot. Oh my, Dick, this just could have been the Mel Brooks podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it could have
been. Oh, yeah, totally.
But Dick Shawn playing LSD as like this weird hippie character doing the audition for Springtime for Hitler, and where he gets cast as Hitler, is the best thing ever. It was so good that that's the reason they changed it for the musical, because Mel Brooks was like, ah, that was Dick Shawn. I can't have that character in the thing because that was all Dick Shawn. And he does this weird song with these finger cymbals.
So what did he do for
love,
the
love
musical?
Flower.
So what did he do for the musical?
What do you mean? Oh, so in the musical, what happens is like a guy drops out and it ends up being the director. And the joke is that they make Hitler gay.
Okay.
Because the director of the musical, like even in the movie, is obviously gay.
Yeah.
And so that's what so keep it gay in the musical. And then that's the Springtime for Hitler number is influenced by the fact that like Hitler is gay. So like it's drawn out to like 12 minutes, and there's a part where like he's on the edge of the stage, like with his legs crossed, and the spotlight comes on him, and he does like this this solo. It's amazing. The musical was really phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like seeing it on stage was amazing.
Yeah.
You saw it, TJ?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Nice. It's really good. I mean, the fact that it's about Broadway is really meta, but it works.
Interesting.
But goddamn it, the movie. No matter how many times I've seen it. I've seen it in the theater like 5 times.
I don't think I've ever seen the original movie. I think I've only seen the Nathan
Lane. That's what we should do as a screening, because Kelly hasn't either. It has never gotten old. I've seen it maybe 50 times. It's never
so
gotten
funny.
Old. Zero Mostel is a hurricane.
So that's 3 movies we've got to watch now. Great. All right. That's fine. Even though it's a musical, right? The movie's not a musical.
The original movie is not a musical, but they're making a musical in the movie.
There's two songs in it. Okay. Calm down.
It's like my Little Buttercup.
It's also Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
That's
fine. I'll get through it.
Oh, my God. I do not like your attitude. Right,
on my way here, we're not to honorable mentions yet, but when we get there.
Well, let's do it.
Well, we're there right now.
Well, okay. Well, I was going to the scene in High Anxiety with Barry Levinson where they're doing the homage to Psycho. He's like, here's your paper! Here's your paper! Here's your paper! Oh, my gosh. That's that scene.
Yeah, I almost had I was watching it before you guys got here. The scene in Trading Places where they're showing Eddie Murphy like how the stock market works.
And he looks at the camera?
Well, the bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Like, here's pork belly. It's like you'd find in bacon. Like you would find in a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. But no, where he's talking about why the pork belly is going to go down. Like the guys around the holidays are freaking out. Why it's not going to sleep with me if they don't. Where he censors himself. Oh, God damn it. I love Trading Places.
I don't mention Raising Arizona. There's a scene where Glenn is telling him why they haven't adopted another baby. And he's like, they have a Korean boy with his heart outside his body. And yeah, every scene with Glenn is just funny. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm talking about L'Amour, boy. I'm talking about love. As in to swing. And Jenny, you have any honorable mentions?
No. I didn't. I mean, too many.
There's too many. Like, we can just.
I don't think we should.
We can just recurring episode.
I mean, I was gonna say
that was the High Anxiety one was one that I had thought that I wanted to talk about and I just forgot.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of one specific thing, but then I was like, fuck it, I should just put the whole movie on Airplane.
Yeah.
Everything in Airplane.
Airplane's another one that I.
Excuse me, miss. I speak jive.
Oh man! All right, so
drinking problem. Well, damn it.
We'll leave it at that. What should we say? Find us on Twitter at the Film Podcast. Tweet at us, follow us if you can, and you can find me on Twitter at Ricardo ULTRERES.
I'm at Janae JEHNEIGH.
I'm at Adam Scott AN_ Adam Scott
at BL Bennett.
All right, there you go. And until next time, hey, have a good week.